I'm Walter Cronkite. I'd like you to hear something.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. Any way you want it.
They're radio hams, amateurs, giving of their own time and spending their own money.
CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Your volunteer-run station.
They're just two average guys who saw the need and volunteered.
What do you like?
I love picnics.
What do you like?
I like me first, then my sisters and brothers.
What do you like?
Hitting this tin can with a spoon. Ah.
What do you like?
Messing up a room.
What do you like?
I like pina coladas.
What do you like?
Dead burnt bodies.
What do you like?
Sadists.
Known perverts and Mormons.
What do you like?
Noise!
Good morning. It is 11:30 on a Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for a noise, as it is every Wednesday, 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. here on the almighty CITR. Luke Mead here at the helm. Coming up in the next hour and a half, some really, really good stuff. It's funny, Mr. Mark Richardson mentioned playing a Mark McGuire track, and he said, you'll be hearing some Mark McGuire, you know, coming up the next year or so. Well, you'll be hearing some Mark McGuire coming up the next hour and a half or so, but also we'll have some power electronics courtesy of Kevin Drum and Russell Haswell. Also Nurse List stuff. We got something brand new reissued out on the fantastic Wawa record label that we'll be hearing. Some new stuff on the Type Records label. So it's going to be nice and drony and hopefully start your September off right. The first record, though, we're going to start listening to is something that was brought to my attention. Brought to my attention the fact that I owned it. And it's a great blog by Mr. Dave Segal. Writes for the Stranger magazine down in that little city called Seattle. And he came across it at a flea market, and someone wanted $100 for it. And I hardly disagreed. Paying $100 for any record, I think, is a little outrageous. But this one in particular, LSD on Capitol Records, originally released in 1966, produced by Alan Livingston and Lawrence Schiller. This is the granddaddy of all LSD documentaries, and it sounds even better today than when it was released. The attitude is mocking and hostile in an understated manner rather than openly confrontational, because it was made, I believe, before the drug was actually illegalized. It was made in 66, and I think it was still being used as a chemical. But there are real interviews with real acid luminaries, regular heads and stuff like that, and classy narration. And I really want you to pay attention to the narration because it's uncredited, but it is Dick Clark doing the chatting. So all the way back to 1966, this album is simply called LSD.
What you're listening to are musicians performing psychedelic music under the influence of a mind-altering chemical called LSD. What you're hearing now is the hysterical laughter of a young man shaken by a wild hallucination midway through an LSD trip.
Oh, I'm so happy about where I am right now. Right where I am, I'm so happy.
Millions of Americans will illegally consume lysergic acid diethylamide, commonly known as LSD, during the next 12 months. Such indiscriminate use of LSD, once solely intended for scientific research, has snowballed into a nationwide crisis. Teenagers prowl along the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles, high on the drug. Some of them chew the bark off trees and growl like dogs. They alternately writhe on the floor, screaming, cower in a corner, or dreamily prop themselves against the walls. 10,000 thrill seekers attend a 3-day LSD festival in San Francisco, undulating to atonal music while experiencing way-out trances. LSD pushers openly sell the drug on dozens of college campuses. Adherents include corporation presidents, noted educators, a magazine publisher. But it's mostly unsupervised teenagers, the rebellious adolescents searching for identity, who embrace LSD and sound its praises.
And it was the most beautiful thing in the whole world. And then the paintings on the walls were dripping. Just, you know, you could see the paint coming down them like this, just like somebody was hosing it off at the top and all the paint was running down onto the floor. But it was so pretty. They were running. Just like they were melting.
Yeah.
It was groovy. But that's the only hallucination I got off the whole trip.
Often, however, they put it to frivolous use. A colorless, odorless, tasteless, inexpensive substance. It's considered by the majority of them to be nothing more than a shortcut to instant bliss, where actually it may be dangerously harmful. It's as easy to obtain as a hamburger at a local drive-in. In major cities like New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, a purchase can be made on a street corner, in a delicatessen, or a coffee house. Night spots frequented by this clientele carry names like The Trip, Lysergic Agogo, The Doors of Perception, and The Brave New World. Members of the acid scene are no longer underground. Their widely dilated pupils are inevitably shielded from the light by dark glasses. Whether the users are dropping caps while seated in the back of a motorcycle or languishing in a movie theater watching The Last Year at Marienbad or Juliet of the Spirits, surrealistic films which have heightened meaning for those who are turned on. It's a disenchanted, restless, insecure generation continually searching for new kicks. A 19-year-old expresses her feelings.
Well, I never think of when I'm 20 or when I'm 21. I think of tomorrow or this minute and hope there's tomorrow. Because I don't like what's going on in the world. I'm scared of that more than drugs. I'm not afraid of them. I'm just scared, you know. Everybody is pretty uptight.
An LSD pusher who sells the chemical at $5 a cap tells why his business is burgeoning.
And these people have the attitude, you know, you live once, so why not take it?
And apparently a widespread breakdown in parental discipline has removed the most basic restraints. A 14-year-old who has also experimented with heroin and benzedrine was asked whether her mother knew about her LSD habit.
Yeah. She knows everything. I don't have to hide anything from my parents. They're not that way. I don't hide anything from my parents, and they don't hide anything from me. And we have a very good relationship. We don't love each other, but that's okay. You know?
The lack of love in the turbulent climate of the 60s, combined with the sensational publicity caused by the drug and its easy availability, have triggered the rampant psychedelic craze. Dr. Sidney Cohen, chief of psychiatry at the Wadsworth Veterans Administration Hospital in Los Angeles and author of an LSD survey called The Beyond Within, describes the evolution of the drug from its less frenetic beginnings.
Since that day, 23 years ago, when Dr. Albert Hoffman accidentally inhaled enough lysergic acid diethylamide to cause him to take to his bed, LSD has passed through three distinct phases. The first was a period of scientific investigation, when a variety of mental aberrations were examined. At that time, the LSD state was called a model psychosis, a schizophrenia in miniature. Later, some of the scientists observed that many of the reactions were not madness at all, and they proceeded to explore the possibility that the drug might be effective in the treatment of certain mental disorders, that it might help us understand the creative process, the nature of perception, and other human mental activities. Today, scientific research with LSD is declining. 5 years ago, the second period began, the idyllic, psychedelic, evangelic era. This was a movement spawned at Harvard by Drs. Leary and Alpert, later to infiltrate many a campus and offbeat group. The psychedelic persuaders made the most attractive assertions that the experience would free us from life's games so that we could enter into non-game ecstasy, that our mental abilities would multiply a hundredfold, that our consciousness would be expanded out to the ultimate. Now the third phase is upon us. In the past 2 years, the acid head has taken over. Most of the takers are out for fun and LSD high. The doses are upped. The music gets louder. The lights swirl faster. And the chap who freaks out just hasn't passed the acid test. A surprising number of these youngsters don't even know who Timothy Leary is. Or if they do, they think he's the guy who started the party.
Psychologist Timothy Leary, a smooth-talking 45-year-old, is regarded as the leading American LSD missionary, as well as the movement's most controversial figure. His early LSD experiments, where he used Harvard University undergraduates, resulted in his expulsion from the school's faculty. Recently, he was facing a jail sentence as lengthy as 30 years for transporting marijuana. Leary has appealed the verdict. While out on bail, his seductive talks on the virtues of LSD draw huge college audiences.
The LSD trip is a pilgrimage far out beyond your normal mind into that risky and revelatory territory which has been explored for thousands of years. By mystics and visionary philosophers. In the last year, we are told that perhaps 1 million Americans, most of them young people, have made the LSD experience a part of their lives. Is this a social menace and a cause for alarm? I don't think so. I see nothing less than the speedy evolution of a new indigenous religion. The LSD religionist knows that the temple of worship is the human body, that the shrine must be located not in a public place, but in the privacy of your own home, and that the congregation cannot extend beyond your family and your closest friends. In 15 years, the high school and college students who are experimenting with LSD will be running many of our institutions and guiding public policy. Remember, the college students who are using LSD and marijuana today do not comprise a criminal class. They are not drug addicts seeking to escape. They are your best educated, your most creative, and your most courageous young people. And like it or not, they're going to build you a new civilization.
detractors argue that his rhapsodic, high-minded thoughts exert a strong appeal on individuals likely to be injured by the drug. There's no doubt that many of the young, ignorant of the high potency and danger of LSD, have been swept up in the aura surrounding the drug. Some of them wear buttons on their lapels and place bumper stickers on their cars reading, "Support your local travel agent," meaning the source of supply who provides the trip-taking chemical. Since the only legitimate source of LSD in the United States is restricted to approved researchers, the user finds himself obliged to deal on a black market, which has reached enormous proportions. Planes smuggle huge batches into this country from Canada, Mexico, England, Czechoslovakia. But actually, anyone with a working knowledge of organic chemistry can readily synthesize LSD. As a result, the LSD available in the current seller's market is manufactured largely by amateurs. Often it's of dubious quality. At Capsule Corner, a crossroads for acid heads in Los Angeles, customers can purchase LSD in a variety of forms, impregnated in sugar cubes, chewing gum, blotting paper, mixed with baking soda in a capsule, absorbed in a matchstick, or preserved on the back of a postage stamp. The price is up to $5 for the standard dosage, 200 micrograms. The nonpareil in the field is a San Francisco chemist who distributes free samples at massive LSD parties and allegedly has become a millionaire through illegal sales. He's spoken of with reverence by one of his Los Angeles pushers, who's also a user.
Asley really knows how to make acid. Right, so that all the impurities were taken out of it. Asley really has dynamite, righteous acid.
The continuing danger in buying on the black market is that the consumer never can be certain exactly what dosage he's getting. The average dosage is virtually invisible. 300 micrograms could be put on the point of a pin. There's the added possibility that an impure dosage could cause substantial organic damage. One teenager who had just illegally purchased some LSD and consumed it while standing on a sidewalk voiced her fears.
And it scares me not knowing exactly what my proper dosage is. And I have to take it behind the law because there's no other way.
Another girl reported the size of her dosage.
The first time it was half a cap. Just the trees and in the sky, and even the grocery store was beautiful. I could have stayed in it for hours.
A teenager noted how much LSD she consumed on her last trip.
Oh, yeah, I took half a cap of a 500 milligram cap.
She described how she knew it was a 500 cap.
Well, you know what a 500 cap looks like. You know what I mean? It's small.
Queried about her largest dose, a young girl responded,
yeah, well, it was 15 drops of a concentrate of 400 micrograms a drop. And I know it wasn't good because it immediately hit my spine. I was in sheer agony. It was tapping my spinal fluid.
The girl's answer underlines the abject ignorance of many users. LSD cannot possibly tap the spinal fluid. Captain Alfred W. Tremblay, commander of the Narcotic Division of the Los Angeles Police Department, explains the confusion surrounding the LSD numbers game.
Or a year ago, a person could buy LSD and know that he's using 50 micrograms. Today, or a year from now, there'll be no such guarantee from a pharmaceutical company. It will be a bootleg version similar to heroin, to where a addict shoots heroin, might be shooting 2% heroin, he might be shooting 25% heroin. When you buy it from a illegitimate source, there's no guarantee on the quality. We had a backyard chemist under investigation at this time, and he was producing sufficient amount of LSD to make 1 million capsules in a 3 month period. Our information is the same individual has now enlarged his activities, and I would estimate that this individual is producing for consumption in Southern California in excess of 1 million capsules a month.
Student health centers and psychiatric wards rapidly filling with acid heads who cracked up following bad trips or an inability to assimilate the LSD experience are already a fact. One out of every six admissions at the UCLA Neuropsychiatric Institute is attributed to LSD. Dr. Thomas Ungerleiter, resident psychiatrist at that facility, reports their symptoms upon arrival.
They may be severely depressed with suicidal tendencies or have made very serious suicide attempts. They may be confused, wandering about, not knowing where they are. They may be hallucinating, that is, hearing voices or seeing things. Or they may be extremely anxious to the point of panicky.
Reports of such unfortunate trips do little to deter most users, especially those attending high schools and colleges. They go right on experimenting with LSD, waiting for psychedelic lightning to strike. More often, they're swayed by extraordinary experiences related to them by their friends. Here's one such recollection, told by a young insurance company employee.
Because I was really loaded. I mean, I came out of the shower jumping around telling everybody how groovy it was to take a shower. And it was like, well, it was like being under a thunderstorm with great big drops of rain, because you could really feel the water coming. And you could just, it almost felt, this is weird, it almost felt like you could feel your pore going, sopping up the water. You know, your whole body was just going, like a great big sponge, you know. And it was like a massage. It was so groovy, you can't believe how groovy it was. It wasn't just water hitting you, taking a shower, soap, and out you go, you know, towel off. It was just, oh, wow. You know, it was like a caress, you know, kind of. And you could really feel the hot and the cold. You could feel hot and cold, you know, and each little drop that came out was a different one. You know, it wasn't, I don't think the water must mix inside. It must come out hot and cold or something, because you could feel hot, cold all over you. It was really groovy. I guess the word for it is it was sensual. You know, it just, your body just, oh, it grooved, you know. It was really neat.
A member of an instrumental group which records psychedelic music reveals her rapturous LSD trips.
God, I'm always tripping now, and always freaking out. And sometimes I freak out with everything, because I'm just freaking out anyway. I'm just freaking out. You know, one time in the swimming pool, on my back, I guess about 3 hours in the pool. You know,
yeah.
Complete silence, if I remember. I became part of the water, and part of the air, part of all the color in the air, yeah. Part of space, and it was me, and I was it, and, you know. It all melted in together. That's why I stayed there so long. I didn't realize time. I remember dancing after that, dancing quite a bit. After that, I'm down, and all the sounds that I heard completely faded away. Everything got so distant. Because it got so distant, and I went right into my own head. Closed my eyes. Started singing, you know. Everything was in my head at the time. 10,000 teddy bears and millions of teacups, you know, things like that, written happy birthday.
The same girl reveals what these insights have meant to her.
In what way?
God, well, I've had to look at myself in all kinds of ways. It's when you open those doors down there into where the rats are running around, and you shine light on them, you know, and you bring it all out. You see where it's at, and you keep feeling more light, like, you know, it happens to Dracula when he goes in the sunshine. Dies. The evil is brought out, and you can look at it, and the good, and everything. LSD helps me to remember. Grass helps me to forget. You know, I don't know.
Thank you.
Hello.
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 About 2 years ago in California, people started going to parks and public places and telling everybody that they should love everybody. And a lot of people did, and a lot of people didn't. Unfortunately, our country isn't right now. And for a senseless war, we apologize. This was our first record. It was called I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night. Thank you.
I touched your golden hair and tasted your love.
Thank you. Thank you.
CITR has more friends than ever before. We've partnered with tons of local businesses to bring you great discounts in the communities where you live, work, and play. Maybe Main Street is your main drag. Present your Friends of CITR card at Red Cat Records, Lucky's Comics, Devil May Wear, Thriller, Blim, The Kiss Store, The Wallflower Modern Diner, RX Comics, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Vinyl Records, Regional Assembly of Text, and Twig and Hottie to receive fabulous discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free Friends card, and feel the love.
And speaking of Regional History of Text, happy birthday last week, you guys. Regional History of Text, fantastic little store up on Main Street. If you want to buy anything unique in the world of greeting cards and stuff like that, I know I've given them lots of my money. Hope you do too. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, you're listening to A Noise, 12 noon. And the last half hour, you've just been hearing a kind of an underground classic there, and simply entitled LSD on Capitol Records, originally released in 1966, produced by Alan Livingston and Lawrence Schiller. And yes, even though it's uncredited, that was Mr. Dick Clark doing the narration there. So check that out. I hope you enjoyed that. And don't pay more than a quarter for it, because they're still available. And however, there are certain record vendors who shall remain nameless who have tried to prey on the kitsch value of that, and has, speaking of value, marked it up a little incessantly. After that, we played some classic acid rock, the Electric Prunes, from their brilliant reissued CD, Live at Stockholm, 1967. And you heard You Never Had It Better, and of course, the one that they're known for, I Had Too Much to Dream Last Night. Well, we're going to get into some noisier territory now. Haven't been playing very much. Found a bunch of old Mego records in my collection this week. Editions Mego, the wonderful power electronics label that was prominent in the 2000s. We're going to hear two classics by them. We're going to hear Second Life Salvage by Mr. Russell Haswell. These are all floor recordings, literally floor recordings, because he plays on the floor, but just live. This album documents him live all over Europe. We're going to hear the Farfabriken in Stockholm, or more Stockholm stuff. That's kind of cool. And then we're going to hear the man, the myth, Mr. Kevin Drum, who I haven't played in several years now. Sheer Hellish Miasma is the name of the album. We're going to start off with this. This was originally released in 2002, got re-released in 2007 with some great minimal black artwork by Mr. Stephen O'Malley from Sun O, bracket, or whatever. Yeah, this is Kevin Drum. Get out the plugs. It's a lovely little track called Hitting the Pavement.
want to start a cultural kind of movement here, you can't do it in a legal setting.
They have a bylaw for everything here. It's suffocating.
Here we are, look, we're putting on a show. These kids are having a good time. Come shut us down again.
One of the cops was about where the stick was, and he said, "Can you back away from me? You're a little too close to my gun."
Get ready for a night of film, rock and roll, and mayhem to kick off and raise funds for the upcoming screening tour for the No Fun City documentary. Saturday, September 4th at the Rickshaw Theater, screening at 7 p.m., bands at 9. This night will include performances by Vapid, Twin Crystals, Defectors, and The Furies, plus special guests. DJ J-Hag from 3 Inches of Blood will be DJing throughout the night. As well as raising funds for the film's upcoming tour, this event will be an opportunity to celebrate a thriving indie music community and a chance to raise awareness of local organizations such as the Safe Amplification Sight Society. No Fun City at the Rickshaw Theater, Saturday, September 4th. For more information and updates, please visit nofuncity.org.
Yeah, man, if you care anything about this town, check out that flick. A lot of local people in it, a lot of CITR personalities in it as well. No Fun City at the Rio Theater, September 4th. Yes, going to be awesome. You just heard some glitchy electronic-y sizzle there. Russell Haswell from Second Life Salvage. That was recorded in 2002. Farfabriken, I think is the name of the club, and Stockholm is the city. And then we started off with Kevin Drum off of the re-release of Sheer Hellish Miasma, excuse me, and we heard Hitting the Pavement. We'll mellow it down a little bit for the next little while. I mentioned earlier, both Mark Richardson, host of Pop Drones before this show, and I are huge fans of this gentleman coming up. Mr. Mark McGuire, not to be confused with the giant juice head who used to knock home runs out of the park. But he's the little tiny guy from Cleveland, Ohio, that makes a very, very beautiful sound when he strums a guitar. This is going to be on a lot of the critics' best album of the year, if you ask me. This is Mark McGuire off of Tidings with Along the Coral Reef.
He's nothing. He's a diversion, a rebound.
What is it, Barbara? You've got to tell me what I can do.
You don't get it, Maurice. I'm not a cop because I want to be. I'm a cop because I have to be. I was called to the law. I'm its servant. I eat, breathe, sleep the law. It courses through my body like blood. And when you stepped on the law, Maurice, you stepped on me. Thank you.
12:33 in the p.m. You're listening to A Noise here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Luke Mead here. Just heard something off the brand new Mark McGuire double album, and the album's called Tidings. We heard Along the Coral Reef. Stay tuned. At 1 o'clock, we have The Green Majority, hosted by our sister station out in Toronto, CIUT. 2 o'clock, Democracy Now! With Ms. Amy Goodman. 3 o'clock, Rumbletone Radio, A Go-Go, your best in rock and or roll music by Mr. Frank Rumbletone. 5 o'clock, The Arts Report with Mr. Adam. 6 o'clock, Reel to Reel with Robert Waldman. 6:30 is this week, I believe, is Sam Squatch's Hideaway. All Canadian content all the time with the lovely Anita B. 8 o'clock, Folk Oasis with Val Cormier. 10 o'clock, Sexy in Van City with Caroline. And then 11 o'clock, The Man, The Myth, Mr. Hans Klaus, with Hans Klaus's Misery Hour. So keep it locked here. Brand new stuff coming up right now. Just came on my desk on Monday. The ever-reliable Drip Audio label. And Drip Audio is run by the lovely gentleman in Fond of Tigers. And that's what we're going to hear. They have a brand new release out this week, Continent and Western. And we're always big fans of them, not only here on the show, but on CITR. You should be too. This is a little track called Vitamin Meat Hawk.
Oh, my dear again. hello, hello. My name is Tim, and every Thursday from 1 to 2 p.m., I will be playing best punk, hardcore, metal, ska, and reggae music for you from all over the world. We all fall down on 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver, British Columbia.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. This is a noise you just heard of the brand new Fond of Tigers, Continent and Western, it's called. And we heard Vitamin Meathawk featuring vocals by Constellation artist Sandro Petty. Great, fantastic stuff. One of our best, our city's best bands, if you ask me. Keep an eye out for that. We're going to wrap up the show here, like we always do, something off the infamous Nurse list. And as always, something completely weird. From 1970, we're going to hear something by the group, collective known as Limbus 4. The name of the album is Mandalas. Just been re-released on Spain's Wawa Records. Mandalas is an improvised early krautrock freakout with references to Native American, Indian, and Tibetan culture. If that sounds good, you may enjoy this. It is not like most krautrock releases. It completely ignores electronics and stays true to more percussive sounds and acoustic instruments. This is could be what can refer to as ethnological forgeries. But it's definitely a unique side of krautrock. We're going to hear side two, hopefully in its entirety if we have time. And this is a track simply called Plasma.